Turn together now in the Word of God to 1 Samuel chapter 7. We'll read this morning from verse 2 through the end of the chapter, and then we'll turn over to Acts chapter 3, where I'd like us to read again verses 19 through 24. 1 Samuel 7, 2 through 17, and then Acts 3, 19 through 24. This is God's Word. Listen to it. From the day that the ark was lodged in Kiriath-Jearim, a long time passed, some 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the people of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were routed before Israel. And the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as below Beth-kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and called its name Ebenezer. For he said, "Till now the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath. And Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went on a circuit year by year to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah. And he judged Israel in all these places. Then he would return to Ramah, for his home was there. And there also he judged Israel. And he built there an altar to the Lord. Now over to Acts chapter 3. Beginning at verse 19. "Repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel and those who came after him, also proclaimed these days. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for inspiring by your Spirit those who wrote so that they would write precisely what you wanted them to, so that the words that we read are not merely the words of men, but in truth, they are the very words of our God. Thank you for your word and for revealing yourself, your plan of salvation, and your kingdom in your word. Help us now to attend carefully to it and receive from it that bread of life that we so need to live. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 7 of 1 Samuel is the pivot chapter in 1 Samuel. This is the chapter where everything begins to change. For 6 chapters, we more or less have been watching as Israel collapsed under the weight of her sin, under the weight of false religion. Though a glimmer of hope was given early on, a son was given to a woman named Hannah, a child given in answer to a sincere prayer to the Lord, a child that would be offered up to God. Even though we had that glimmer of hope right in the beginning, God is up to something, we know. Nonetheless, we had to wait, and we've had to watch as Israel collapsed. While we waited to see what God was going to do with this child, Israel degenerated morally, religiously. You remember, the priesthood robbed from the people and from God. The priesthood took the sacrifices for themselves and threatened violence against God's people. And they even used their office to take advantage of the daughters of Israel. And they did all of it right in the sight of God, ministering before the tabernacle. While we waited to see what God would do, the people of Israel, under this administration, began to loathe the worship of God. They began to hate coming to the house of the Lord. While we waited to see what God was going to do, the fear of God in Israel was being replaced by superstition. And a man-centered kind of a cult emerged. And we saw this clearly when the Ark of the Covenant, the very symbol of God's covenant presence and promise among his people, was treated as though it were a magic box of power. The living God in Israel was being treated like an object that man can manipulate, just take out of his pocket whenever he wants to use him. While we waited to see what God was going to do, the judgment of God came down hard upon Israel. thinking that God would defeat their enemies for them because they had the magic box. God used their enemies to inflict his judgment upon the house of Israel. God used the Philistines to bring down the idolatrous house of Eli. While we were waiting to see what God would do, the glory departed from Israel. It's been a long time since we've heard anything about or from Samuel. It was back in chapter 3 was the last time we heard anything from him. And during that time, Israel was a total mess. So the last thing we read as we come to our passage today, the last thing that we read were these words. This is why I picked up at verse 2. A long time passed, some 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. A total collapse, and then a long period of lamentation. Today, beginning in verse 3, the wait is over. He appears, and with his appearing, everything changes. What we see in our chapter, in our passage this morning is, here it is. Here he is. Here's God's answer. Here's God's plan. Here's what he was up to. This is the resolution. This is the answer to Israel's decline. This is what will bring the glory back. Now, what is that answer? Or rather, who is it? We see this morning. This is the main point of our passage. What we see this morning is that it is through a true and faithful mediator that God will dwell in the midst of his people again, and that Israel can stand before a holy God and be saved, be forgiven, give all glory to God. Only in and through a true and faithful mediator is true religion established, true fellowship between God and man. Only in and through a faithful mediator can sinners be saved from the judgment of God. Now, we heard, as I said, we had glimmers of hope early on. We heard of his God-given birth, the very beginning of this book, an answer to prayer. A woman who was barren conceives. We heard of his young years in the first couple of chapters. Kind of reminds you of something else that would come later. But now, Samuel finally appears for us in the flow of this story as a full-grown man. Ready and able to take up this vital role in the service of a people who would otherwise still be lamenting under the judgment of God, separated from his glory. Samuel appears now, for the first time, in his full mediatorial office. By mediator, we mean someone who goes between, someone who mediates, and he is the one who goes between God and Israel. God and these sinners who had turned religion into idolatry. He comes in full mediatorial office and function. And in that mediatorial office and function, you see him acting as a prophet. You see him acting as a priest. And you even see him acting in a judicial capacity, almost like a king. And he comes onto the scene and he wastes no time. Samuel just starts talking. And when he speaks with authority. And when he speaks about the heart of Israel. Notice that. Samuel comes speaking with authority and speaking about the heart of things. The heart of man, the heart of Israel. And he calls for true repentance. Genuine, heartfelt, turning away from idols, from foreign gods, from pagan worship and superstition. Turning away from all that and turning to the living and true God in a genuine faith. If, he says, right out of the gate, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, if all this lamenting is more than just feeling sorry for yourselves, but if there's a genuine sorrow, a genuine sense of loss, your God has departed and you have lost him, if there's something genuine in this, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth among you and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only. Remember who you are, Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love him with all of your heart. If that's where you're at, if you're remembering what true religion is all about, get rid of those idols. Cast away those false gods. Notice what Samuel does here. This is what a true mediator does. He gets right to the heart of the matter. Here's your problem. This is why you and God are not getting along right now. You've got this idolatry. You love something more than him in your heart. Samuel gets right at it. He doesn't waste time. Now, no doubt there were many things in Israel that needed to be cast out or reformed. No doubt there were many wrongs in Israel that needed to be made right. A lot of injustices. No doubt there were tons of grievances in Israel that people had with each other. Things that needed to be aired and settled. But before any of that, the true mediator starts with the question of the relationship of God and his people. And that has to be settled first. Would God dwell again in the midst of this people or not? That's the question. Would the people live with God? Would they live under the care and blessing of God? Would they recognize his lordship? And would they worship him alone and honor him as God in their hearts and lives, or not? That's the question. Samuel calls them to offer themselves to God from their hearts. And he says, only in this way, only if you turn to the Lord your God in true repentance from your heart and true faith, will you be saved from the Philistines? Only in that will you be saved from those who were the judgment of God upon you last time. So Samuel even speaks kind of prophetically here, in the sense of foretelling things that haven't occurred yet. He's talking about the Philistines advancing even before we hear that the Philistines have advanced. He speaks of the coming of the Philistines and he calls the people of God in light of that judgment to repentance and faith, to confess their sins. He exhorts them then to cast away their idolatry and serve the Lord God alone, and that only in that way would they be saved. That is important. It's important for you and me as well to recognize what this mediator is saying. Now, understand, you and I all face a day of judgment. It's coming. God is coming. He's going to judge the earth. You're not going to be saved from that coming day of judgment because of your repentance, because of how great you repented in life. That's not what's going to save you. You're not going to be saved because you turn from idols to serve the living and true God. But understand, neither are you saved without that. Neither are you saved without true repentance, turning from idols to the living and true God. This is the first words out of the mouth of that greater mediator that Samuel was just pointing to. First thing that the Lord Jesus said is, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent. Turn from that for which you deserve judgment. Turn away from that which is bringing God's judgment, and turn to God in faith as he has made himself known to you in the gospel through the mediator that he has given you. Now, the wonderful thing about what we find in our passage is that Samuel speaks, he calls for repentance and faith, and Israel listens. Israel listens to the mediator. In verse 4, we're told that they cast away their Baals and their Ashtaroths and serve the Lord only. That is to say, in faith, they begin to call upon the name of the Lord only. They begin to call upon their covenant God that day. They're listening. And Samuel then calls for all of Israel to assemble, the whole assembly of the people of God in the mountain country of Mizpah. And he says there he will intercede in prayer on their behalf. And at Mizpah, with Samuel there interceding as their mediator, again, the people continue to demonstrate heartfelt repentance for their sin. And they do it symbolically by the drawing and pouring out of water and by fasting. In these symbolic acts of pouring out of water and fasting, Israel is confessing that they have become guilty and corrupted before the Lord, and as such, they deserved and deserve God's judgment. And in these acts, they're symbolically identifying with the judgment that they deserve. I explain why. In the act of pouring out water on the ground, symbolic act of doing that, they are confessing, Israel, that in their sin and in their judgment, which they deserve, they're like this water. Poured out upon the ground. Once the water had been gathered up and you could drink it, it was useful. But now, like this water, they're saying, we have been poured out. Unable to be gathered up again, useless. That's what we have become in our sin. They are poured out water apart from the grace of God. And they fast. Kind of goes with it as well in terms of symbolism. For Israel, this fasting is a fasting of repentance. And this fasting of repentance is symbolically saying, we are like the dead. The dead do not eat. We are dead in sin. We are dead under the judgment of God, which we deserve. And so, symbolically, we're not going to eat because the dead don't eat. So those two symbolic acts go together, the pouring out of water and not eating, both of them speaking to, we are those who deserve death. and we cannot live or be gathered up again apart from the grace of God, apart from Him dwelling in our midst. What is going on in Israel? We watched for 6 chapters them falling and declining and collapsing. What's going on here? What's changed in Israel? How is it that a people that had been so far from God, so lost in immorality and idolatry, are now turning from their heart, away from their idols, confessing their sin, acknowledging that they deserve death, and turning to the living and true God? What is the difference here? Well, the answer again is quite simple. It's Him. It's that mediator. Everything's changed since Samuel has arrived on the scene. And Samuel's words are not like Eli's. His words are not falling to the ground. They're having an intended and powerful effect in Israel. The people are hearing His word and they're responding appropriately. The people are already being renewed. The way for the return of God, the coming of God, is being prepared here in Israel. And Samuel's appearance comes at exactly the right time, because the Philistines are coming again. Those who had previously served as God's ministers of judgment are advancing once again upon Israel. Judgment was at the door. And Israel, now hearing that, is terrified, and rightly so. God's judgment is here again. We're done. But now, things have changed. Israel understands. It's not by the way of superstition or idolatry that they're going to make it through this. It's not by magically trying to make God serve man. It's not by robbing God of His glory, but by means of a mediator, a faithful mediator, one who will stand before God on their behalf, one who will make sacrifice and intercession on their behalf. Only in this way will she be saved. Notice verse 8 of our text. Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that He may save us from the hand of the Philistines. We need You to stand in the gap. We need a mediator. It's not magic. It's not idolatry. It's a faithful mediator. That's the difference. Samuel, the mediator, offers a lamb as a whole burnt offering, a guilt offering, and intercedes on behalf of the people. We read, so Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord, and Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. In this one act, we see that everything that the house of Eli had done in terms of the worship of God is now being undone. Worship, true worship in Israel, is being restored. And is this not good news for Israel? A sacrifice for sin and guilt has been offered, and a prayer has been offered, and God has accepted them. When Samuel cried out, the Lord listened. The Lord heard. The Lord answered in the affirmative. Through this mediator, God is known once again as forgiving, as merciful, as one who is not going to count the sins of His people against them. Through this mediator, the people themselves are being renewed and transformed in a wonderful way. They're turning from their sin to the God who forgives. They're calling out to Him through the mediator. Notice the way the people are being transformed. You can even hear it in the way they speak now about God. No longer do they refer to God in some abstract way. Go get the ark. Or that holy God, who can stand before him? No, now they speak of him in this way. Do not cease to cry out to the Lord, our God. The Lord, our God. They are again relating to him as their God, as their covenant Lord. Their language affirms what God himself promised was at the very essence of this covenant. I will be their God and they will be my people. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. The covenant bond is once again sacred and precious to God's people. Having the right mediator, the mediator that God himself gives, makes all the difference in the world. And that's why, again, this chapter in the history of Israel, in the history of Samuel, is such a pivotal chapter. And what happens next is precisely the reverse of what happened back in chapter 4. This time, the Lord God does enter into the battle on behalf of his people against the Philistines. And he leaves no question about it, lest anyone think that this was really a battle between men and men. Israel just happened to be stronger that day than the Philistines. We're not even told Israel fought at all until the battle was already over. It says the Lord thundered against the Philistines. Verse 10. He terrified and routed them by just his sound. The sound of his coming. The sound of his voice. It's as though Sinai came down on the Philistines. And the thunder destroyed them. God defeated the Philistines. And only then can the people of Israel take their proper role as the victorious army of the Lord of hosts. No longer now are they like poured out water, no longer like the walking dead. Now they are this mighty army following their Lord's victory, pursuing their enemies and taking captive the cities and high towers of their enemies, taking back what was taken from them. And even having peace with other enemies of times past. So that finally now, remember back in chapter 4, they camped at Ebenezer because they thought the Lord was going to help them. But it's not until now, finally, at last, that a stone could be erected that said, Ebenezer, a stone of help. Because till now, the Lord God has helped us. And then our chapter closes, verses 15 through 17, by us looking again at the mediator. All of these things, Israel's repentance, their turning from idolatry and superstition and turning again to God in faith, Israel's victory in the face of impending doom, her salvation, her security, her inheritance, her peace, all of these things came to pass when the mediator came on the scene. The right mediator. And we're told that this mediator continued to serve in that capacity all the days of his life, living in and with and among the people that he serves, yet never forgetting that his primary service unto the people is the service at the altar, the service that he performs in the presence of God. And so his home and the place where the altar resides are one and the same. And he always goes back there. So, Church of God, let's just bring it all together now. Do you see what the prophet is preaching? Do you see what the Spirit of God is proclaiming in this Old Testament narrative? It's not just some old story, some irrelevant story in the Old Testament about a people who lived a long time ago. This story is your story. It's your story because it's His story. The story of our mediator. You see, even Samuel would eventually die. And his mediatorial office and his function would one day cease. He did not have resurrection life. But Samuel, by faith, is bearing witness to us of a greater mediator still yet to come. At this time, still yet to come. A mediator whose word would come with full power and authority from God. And would his words will not fall to the ground. A mediator who would be the very word made flesh. Samuel's pointing us forward to a mediator whose coming will herald the day of repentance and faith. He will call for genuine, heartfelt repentance and faith. And his coming would also bring with him the Spirit of the kingdom of God, who works in the hearts of sinners so that they might repent and believe. They might respond the way they should. His word will bring that out of them. A mediator whose office and function focuses on reconciling God and man, who ensures that the holy God can dwell in the midst of his people so that they not be consumed in judgment. A mediator who offers one sacrifice for guilt and sin, whose sacrifice God receives, and whose intercession is effectual. Samuel is proclaiming his day. He is proclaiming that mediator and us as those who belong to this mediator, who have this mediator. He is proclaiming Jesus. Our mediator, understand, is even better than Samuel. And you saw how good things got, how everything turned around just with Samuel. Our mediator is better, even much better. For our mediator is not merely a man. He is God. God the Son, God become man to save men. And he's better because he lives now forever. He will never die. He will never grow old. He will never cease to make intercession for us. He is enthroned and he ministers at the right hand of God in heaven. And our mediator, by his effectual mediation, by his sacrifice, through his intercession, he has given us victory over our enemies, even over the coming judgment of God. We do not need to fear it any longer. Once we were like poured out water, but through him, God has gathered us up to himself, and we have become useful. Once we were dead, but now through him God has made us alive. Once we feared men, but now we can confidently say, Hebrews 13:6, the Lord is my helper, Ebenezer. I will not fear. What can man do to me? This is what God is proclaiming, as Acts 3 said, from Samuel onward, the coming of Jesus Christ, the better mediator. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the coming of Jesus Christ. Thank you that through him you dwell in our midst. Because of him, we turn from our sin and idolatry and turn to you in faith. We thank you that through him a sacrifice has been offered, intercession has been made and received, accepted. And the acceptance of that sacrifice and intercession assures that we will be saved. We praise and thank you for Jesus Christ. We realize that with him everything changes. Because of him, everything is turned around. And we rejoice. Pray that we would give you praise and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our mediator, in whose name we pray. Amen.